Father, we just thank you and praise you. Father, I thank you for the revelation that you have provided to me, Father, that you urged me to study and to start investigating some things, Father, and I thank you for all that you have dropped into my heart. Now, Lord God, this is the moment to be able to provide it and let the hearts be ready and open and prepared to receive the benefit of what you have given me to give to them and what they hear today. Let them not just get excited by it, but Father, let them walk it out and realize that you are grooming us and growing us individually, that we will go out and we will do the work that you have called us to do. Go out into the highways and the byways and minister to the lost and to the broken. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to start out by giving you a statement of what Jesus Christ himself had said in regards to who we are. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus makes this phenomenal statement. He said, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. Everyone in here, all citizens of heaven, you are the light of the world. If you can think about that, then you are the lighthouse. See the first topic there? You are a lighthouse to the lost, which means that you are the gospel truth that people that are in darkness, you're the only gospel that they're ever going to see. When you think about a lighthouse, you think about a lighthouse, what is its main function? What it sends out is a beacon light from shore, and that beacon light can go out quite a few miles out to sea. The reason for it is because when a ship is out there in the midst of a storm, a darkened storm, or a fog, or a heavy mist, they can't see. They can see the shore, but they can't make out where exactly they should go. The beacon light gives them direction to come this way, because otherwise that boat or the ship that they're on, it could have some under crags or rocks under the shallow of the sea, and it could damage the hull, put a hole in the boat, and cause them to possibly drown. So that beacon light is out there as a safe haven for them to come back. You are the light of the world. You are the beacon light for people that are in despair, people that are in absolute tragedy, absolute problem after problem after problem. They have issues and concerns. They don't know where to go. Some people are so desperate, they're ready to take their lives because it can't get any worse. They want to get out. But you are the beacon of light. You are the lighthouse. That's why Christ said, "You are the light of the world." And so what he wants us to know is, if you are the light of the world, dare not let your light go out. Keep your light lit. Amen. So with all that said, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And Paul the Apostle tells us, he says, "For you were once darkness." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For you were once darkness." Notice he doesn't say, "For you were once in darkness." He doesn't say that. He said, "For you were once absolutely dark." You were as dark could be, because of the fact that you were out of the understanding of who God is. You were dark. And he goes on and he says, "But now you are light in the Lord." Anybody have a "but now" testimony? "I once was an alcoholic, but now I am healed. I once was a drug addict, but now I am clean. I once was lost, but now I am found. I once was told by a doctor that I'm going to die in 3 months, but now the tumor is gone and I'm totally healed." You have a "but now" testimony. Amen? So Paul turns around and says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, "So therefore walk as children of light." What he's saying there, you were once unsaved, in darkness, in the world, and Christ came and saved you. Now you no longer are darkness, you are light. So walk as if you have light upon you. You are the light of the world. Don't let the light go out. Verse 14. "Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep. Awake, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Awake, you who sleep. You sleep in the dark. Gotcha. You sleep in the dark. You sleep in the dark. Now, the spiritual understanding there is when you were out there in the world, you were in darkness. You were dark. Arise, you who sleep. Awake, you who awake, you who sleep. Arise, you who are dead. You die, you close your eyes, and you are in the dark. But also, on a spiritual connotation, when you are dead to the reality of Christ, then you are in the dark. But he goes on and he says this, and Christ will give you light. So what Paul is saying is this: wake up, get up, and stay lit up. Keep your light shining, because if you don't keep your light shining, others are going to go to hell that God has sent you their way as the lighthouse, as the beacon of light, to cast the light of hope in their lives. Amen? Now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. For those of you, you'll be able to catch it up here, but if you want to open your Bible and catch it, and you don't have a great sense of direction, then you have to go to your Bible, make a left, and go all the way to the very front of the Bible. Amen? The reason I say that, because I know that there was a person who had a job as an elevator operator and lost their job after a day because they didn't have a sense of direction. And they said, this job has too many ups and downs. I don't like it. But anyhow, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we find, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Have you ever noticed that God always divides light from darkness? Paul alluded to that in 2 Corinthians. He said, what does light have to do with darkness? You also find, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, come out from among them, touch of no unclean thing. Bad company corrupts good character. So there's a dividing rod between light and darkness, and God will not turn away from his rules of what he gives to mankind. Amen? So again, he says in verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now go down to verse 14. And there it says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Verse 16, very powerful, very important verse. Then God made two great lights. Everybody say, God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament in the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now look at verse 19. It says in verse 19, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Say it again, fourth day. So here's what's happening. God says, I'm going to create two lights. And I'm going to take the first light, it's going to be the greater light. And I'm going to place it up into the heavens, up into the firmament, the Bible says. And then he created a lesser light. And he created that also up in the heavens. Okay, so the greater light that he was talking about was the sun. The lesser light that he was talking about was the moon. And God created the sun and the moon on the fourth day. Now I'm going to give you some prophetic insight. What does this have to do with you and I? Well, over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, there you find that Peter turns around and says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as like a day unto the Lord. Amen? So what God was saying when he took on the fourth day of creation, when he took and created the greater light, the sun, and he took and created the lesser light, the moon, he created it on the fourth day, but he created it as an illustration to let it be known that what I'm doing right now is how I want it to be on the earth. What I put in the heavens is what I want to have happening on the earth. So when we look and see that on the fourth day, God created the greater light and God created the lesser light, But if 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years unto the Lord, then what happened 4,000 years later from that moment of time when God created the sun and the moon? What happened 4,000 years later or 4 days later? Jesus Christ came, the Son of God. He came as a babe born in a manger in Bethlehem. He was the greater light. I told you this was an illustration of what God had done in regards to what's something even greater that God had intended on the earth. Jesus Christ, the greater light, was on the earth. And Jesus, when he rose to an age and he started his ministry, he said, "I am the light of the world." And then Jesus said, "I've called you out of darkness. And I've called you out of darkness so that you will be a reflection of my light. You will be a reflection of my love, my mercy, my glory, my healing, my virtue of heaven. You are the reflection of all that I am, and I will reflect all that I am to you and through you to a people that need it, because you are the lighthouse to the lost." Amen. And God commands that we reflect. Jesus is the greater light. We are the lesser light. We are to reflect the virtues of Christ to the world. Now listen, God created, he created the heavens, or the sun and the moon, the greater light and the lesser light, not on the first day. God created light on the first day. But he didn't create the sun until the fourth day. When God created the light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Let there be light." And a lot of people are confused by that. How can he create light if he turned around and didn't create the sun until the fourth day? Well, first of all, God created the light by the spoken word. When God speaks, he creates. Whatever it is you have need of in your life, when he speaks it to you, he creates whatever it is you have need of, you've been praying for. Amen? So he created light on the first day. But he didn't need the sun in order to have light. But we have a hard time with that. We say, "Well, wait a minute. You didn't create light till the fourth day." Don't put God in a box. God's not going to do things the way that our finite minds think that God's going to do this or God's going to... We put God in a box and we say, "Well, God, you have to do it this way." No, not at all. God doesn't follow the rules and regulations we have to follow. He doesn't do that. That's why when you turn around and you have a need and you're dying, you're desperate because you're about to lose your house, you don't have enough money, then all of a sudden you wake up one day after you've been praying and praying and you wonder, "How did I get all this money in my checkbook? How did I get all these resources available to me that I'm able to make my house payment, my car payment? How is it that all heaven has flooded in?" Because you can't put God in a box. You can't do it. God is going to do whatever he's going to do with whomever he wishes to do it, because he's God. There's a word that describes him: sovereign. God is sovereign. That word sovereign means that he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. He's not held by the laws of nature. You and I are held up by the laws of nature. You want me to prove it to you? If you got up and you tried to jump, you'd come right back down. We're held up by the laws of gravity. Gravity tells us, without even seeing what gravity looks like, if you jump up or jump from a building, you better have some means of protecting yourself because you're coming down. If you jump from an airplane at 20 or 30,000 feet, you better have a parachute and a whole lot of prayers if that parachute doesn't open. And let me tell you how gravity also works. When you are jumping from that distance, you give gravity enough time to build up its momentum. Gravity, when it has the opportunity, it will actually have you decelerate at 180 miles an hour. In other words, if you have false teeth and open your mouth, you're going to lose your teeth. And the last thing you'll hear if your parachute doesn't open is, that's it. He's not bound by gravity. You and I are. God is not also, you know, we get thirsty. We take a cup. We want to go get some water. We want to go get some fresh water. We have to find a pond. We have to go find a well. We have to go find a spigot. Not God. He can do unnormal, abnormal things. He can turn and he can get water to start flowing out of a rock. You say, how could that be? Because he's sovereign. And we, when we get in the water, we go under the water or swim in the water, but God, he can go above the water. Jesus gave us an example. He walked on the water. Peter was right there with him. And Peter was able to walk because Jesus gave him privilege. If you want to walk above your storms, you got to keep your eye on Christ, because only he can get you to walk above your circumstances. You'll still have them, but they won't have you any longer. Amen? God is not held back by anything. He is able and free to go wherever he wants to go and do whatever he wants to do because he's sovereign. He's sovereign. So on the first day, God created light. He said, let there be light in Genesis 1:3, and there was light. And then on the fourth day, God turned around and God created the sun. And he took that light and he kind of put the light on the sun and put that sun up in the firmaments. But then God did something tremendous. He created the moon. When he created the moon, he took his time. What he did with the moon, he coated it, the entire surface of it, with dirt and dust particles that had reflective property. Because now the moon doesn't have the ability to protrude light from itself. The moon was only created by God to have reflective nature. And as long as the moon is in that place where it's supposed to be, in the right position, the moon will always bring the shining of Christ's glory to the earth. Amen? So when you think about that, we are like the moon. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are just like the moon. And God wants us to get in the right position. We have to get in the right position. The moon has reflective nature. It can only reflect. So here's the question. What are you reflecting? What's reflecting off of you? The reason I say that is because in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, there it says, it talks about Satan. And he says his name was Lucifer, the bright and morning star. Amen? He was the bright and morning star. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, his name is a serpent. The serpent means the angel of light. So please recognize that Satan is a counterfeit of what God does. When God creates, he is the authentic creator. Everything he creates is authentic. Satan will come along and he will try to entangle you by showing you something that's not true, that's not real. He is the counterfeit. And so the truth of the matter is, who are you reflecting? Because everyone reflects something. There's something you're going to reflect. Doesn't matter if it's God or if it's not. You're going to reflect whatever it is you reflect. You and I are like the moon. God has created us in that kind of a nature. Amen? And so the truth of the matter is, if I look at you and I see that you reflect division, backbiting, if you are always angry, always cutting on somebody, you have racism, you have all kind of filth coming out of your mouth, I know who your source is. I know who your source is. But on the other hand, if you are one that you are showing love and concern and compassion, and you're always praying and always sharing the word of God, and you're concerned about other people, I know who your source is. We know who your source is by the very fact who or what, where are you positioning your life? Are you positioning your life on Christ, or have you been entangled by another source? Amen? Are you entangled by another source? So when you think about the moon can't shine of its own ability. It can only reflect. And when it gets in position, it gets in the position of the sun, I'm telling you, it'll shine, baby, shine. Amen? But I want you to also know there's no such thing as an invisible Christian. There's no such thing as an invisible Christian. You are either going to shine the glory of God or you are going to shine the glory of Satan. One or the other. Something's going to be shining and reflecting off of you. It's all based on your position. I want to tell you something. This is a real sad situation, a real sad history in the history of Christianity. There have been those individuals, and you can look it up in the early 1900s, probably to about 1960. There have been those individuals that God had elevated to a high platform. He had given them power. He had given them authority, him and her, women, men as well. He had given them gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom. He had given them gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophetic insight. And what was happening was they started out on the right note. And they also were opportuned that they could be on television, national television. They got exemplified to be on international television. They were well sought after. People were gathering by the droves coming to the light because they were in position. They were shining the light of the greater light who is Christ. And they were the moon. They were the lesser light. They were shining that reflection of the glory of God. As long as they were in position, they had the power, they had the authority, and they had the attractiveness that the people were coming by droves. They came in the early years under the tent revivals. There were tent revivalists. They were well known, well sought after. And then later on, people were coming by the thousands in the churches, and they were building their walls out even more. How many of you realize, and I know this is kind of hard to believe, but people in darkness really do want to know Christ. They really do. But they're tired of religion. They're tired of all the facade that goes in a church religion or church organization. And but yet deep inside, they are in trouble. They're in darkness. They're hurting. They're broken. They're sick. They're lost. And they're striving, they're struggling, they're looking for some kind of supernatural entity. And they don't know where to look. And they're tired looking at the church. Now, why would it be that they would even look and search? Why would they come at that time that I speak of, an earlier time, and they would come in by the thousands? Because here's what the Word of God says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God had created everything, all things beautiful in its time. And he had placed the knowledge of eternity in their hearts. So those people, every human being ever created, are created. You and I are created. The moment you come out of your mother's womb, you have the knowledge of the kingdom of God in you. The knowledge of eternity, but you don't know the beginning or the end of God. And so here, as you are growing up, inside of you, there's a struggle. Inside of you, because you have all this commotion around you and the darkness is all around you, but now you're striving for some kind of supernatural entity of some sort. And that's why people are searching for deja vu, new age, and psychic hotlines and all kind of stuff, because that which is inside of them is urgently and so desiring to find someone that can help them. And then they look to the church, and they came by the droves. They came by the droves, and what happened was, as these people all gathered, and there were thousands of them that were coming, they were sick, they were on carts, they were on gurneys and such, people that were hurting. And here, the person who had been lifted up in a great platform, instead of looking at Christ and keeping their eyes and their hearts and their mind and their spirit on Christ, they kind of lost focus, and they looked at the people and said, "They're coming for me. They're coming for me. They're all coming for me." And they got big-headed, which in turn they got pig-headed. And what they did, they got out of position, no longer reflecting the love of God. Now they were just thinking, look at the power that I have. Look at the name that I have. Look at the excellence that I have. And the people were still being drawn to them, but after a while, they faded. Nowadays, they turn around and say things like, "You see that Benny Hinn on TV? You see how he's sucker punching people?" Amen. I've heard this. He's sucker punching people. And other people say, "Well, wait a minute now. There's people in the wheelchairs getting up. Yeah, they don't want to get sucker punched." But the truth of the matter is, they take religion to the highest extent because they need to keep their name. They need to show, "Well, I'm better than so and so, and I've got this great illusion of what God has given me." No. No, you need to realize you need to stay humble. You need to get your eyes on the Lord and stay positioned. Amen? Stay positioned. That's why Paul said, "Wake up, get up, and stay lit up." Amen? Because if you don't wake up, If you don't get up out of who you think you are and stay and remain lit up, all the people that have come because at one time you knew the Lord, you broadcasted the Lord, they will fade away and they will go to hell because you were the very moon that God had created to reflect his glory to the person or society or wherever the arena that God has placed you in. Amen. Three things as I'm about to close. Three things I want to show you about the moon. I want to show you three things that I want you to understand about the moon. If we are, as I go back to the fourth day of creation, if God had created the greater light and then the lesser light, he gave the lesser light reflective quality to reflect all the glory of the greater light, then that's what the moon does. And we are like the moon. We have reflective quality. We are not, we have no glory in and of ourselves. We reflect the glory from the greater light, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? So understand three things regarding the moon. First of all, the moon changes the seasons. The moon changes the seasons. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, I am going to take the sun and the moon and I'm going to put them in the sky, and they are there for seasons and times. When you look at the moon projects changes of the seasons. Amen? If you look at the Old Testament and you look at even the people of today, the Jewish culture, they always have the celebration of what is called their convocations or their festivals are always based on the arising of the new moon. And so when the new moon arises, they know it's time for a new season. The old season I've been living in, it's done away with, it's gone, because there's a new season. So the moon is the author of the change of season, not the sun. They don't look to the sun, they look to the moon. So we are the little moons. We are the lesser lights. So if you are the lesser lights and you are in position with your eyes, your heart, your mind, and your spirit on Christ, you don't have to put up with yesterday's season. You don't have to put up with the turmoil, the brokenness, the marital unrest, the financial destitution, the unhealthiness, and all the other things that the enemy has thrown on you. You don't have to put up with it because there's a new season on the horizon, a new season that you're about to enter into. And let me tell you about the sun, or the moon. The moon announces the next season. It announces the next season to come. And so you have the privilege, because God has given you the power of the tongue, you can announce the next season of your life. You don't have to wait another day. You can announce, I am not going to put up with all the shenanigans that counterfeit light has thrown at me. I'm going to get myself in position before Christ, and not only am I going to reflect his light for others, I'm going to allow that light to adorn me, and I am going to now walk into a new season. Amen? The second thing about the moon, the moon is not afraid of the dark. Matter of fact, the moon looks forward to it because the moon does its best work in the dark. Amen? The Word of God tells us that God says that you will rule the dark. You will rule it. And so we find that we are living in a time when it's pretty dark. Would you say amen to that? We are living in a society, in a culture, in a time zone where it's pretty dark. And when you think about how dark it is, Isaiah the prophet said it would be gross darkness. He saw thousands of years ahead, and this is what he said, that there would be gross darkness on the earth in the end days. And I believe we have arrived. I believe we have arrived. But this is what God is saying regarding that gross darkness. He's letting us know what's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Anybody agree that that's what's going on today? Amen? But here it is. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You are not here by accident. You are not here because of perhaps. You are not here because of the lust of two people and you became the product of it. God knew exactly what you were going to do. He knew you by name. He formed you in your mother's womb, and he doesn't make mistakes. And he put us on the earth in this decade, in this culture, in this time. And what he wants us to do, he wants us to remain positioned before the greater light, before Christ. Keep our eyes, our hearts, our minds, and our hands to the plow and reflect that light to others. Because let me tell you something, the darker the dark, the greater your light will begin to reflect. And the more people you are going to see that are going to be attracted to you because of how bad things on the horizon are still going to get. Amen? And so we come to find that the moon looks forward to the darkness because the greater work is yet to come. We have been created by God to rule the night. And last of all, the third thing I want you to see about the moon, and it's something that I believe that every one of you know about, if you've ever gone to the ocean, when you go to the ocean, follow me now, it's important. The tide goes out in the morning and the tide comes in the evening. Say that with me. The tide goes out in the morning and the tide comes in the evening. Don't you ever forget that. When I was 21 years old, I was so excited because I was invited to go fishing at the ocean. My father got shot in World War II. He had this bone right here, shot right in the middle of it. He had a plastic bone. He couldn't earn a lot of keep. We were just a little tad above poverty. I didn't know what a vacation was. So I was kind of corralled in my little catacomb there in Koppel. Never got out of Koppel. And so I never got to do it. My fishing was with my mother at the Beaver River, catch the catfish. And once in a while, we'd go to the Koppel Reservoir. I thought, man, I died and went to heaven. I went all the way to the Koppel Reservoir. That was my fishing. I was 21 years old now, and an older gentleman in his 60s wanted to take me fishing, of all places, the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia. Oh, my goodness gracious. I thought I died and went to heaven. And so he, along with his brother, who was a little younger, and a friend of theirs who was about the same age, who had a 24-foot boat with an outboard motor. And what was neat and what I felt secure in, all three of these men were seasoned sailors. They knew the ocean. So I felt, man, I've got it made. So I got all my stuff. They had other stuff for me. They had the ocean rods and everything, and away we went. We had a four-day excursion. We got there in the middle of the first day, and we put up a tent, and we stayed on the beach. We had showers not too far away. We had all the convenience. And it was so cool because they showed me to go to the dock, and I was catching crabs. And one of the guys brought a crab steamer, and, man, I was eating crabs. I never ate crab before, and I was eating crabs like it was coming out my ears. And then we sat in the chairs, and we got to feel the breeze and see the stars and hear the ocean. And oh, I mean, it was just beautiful. It was a solace time. Well, the next morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, we got up, and I was ready. Had all the gear and had all the stuff. And now, mind you, that night when we pulled in, they put the boat at the dock. I got up with my stuff. They got up with their stuff. We ran to the dock. The boat was there. The water was 80 yards out. These seasoned sailors forgot the tide goes out in the morning and comes in the evening. So the boat was now in a sand barge. We couldn't move it. We couldn't lift it. We couldn't shake it. Nothing. So we were stuck for one solid day. One day lost. Waited till the next day. Finally, the next day comes after the tide came in that evening. They put the ship out there at a secondary dock. We get up the next morning. We get in that boat. We had to walk in water about here. It was a sand barge we followed. We got up to the boat. We get in the boat. He starts the motor. And it broke. It happened to be Memorial Day. It was Memorial Day weekend. It happened to be Monday, Memorial Day. Can't get it fixed. So we go back to the tent and we spend another day. The next day, they take it into the city. They get it fixed. Took most of the day. By the time they got it back on the boat, they said, "It's too late for us to go fishing today." The third day lost. Finally, the fourth day came. We finally got in that boat. Oh, my goodness. You know, I wasn't mad. I was just still excited. My excitement was waning, though, I got to be honest. Got in the boat. I got in the boat. We got in the boat. We fished for 2 hours. White caps came. There was a nasty storm on the horizon. They brought us in. We were done for the whole trip was gone. I didn't catch anything. None of us caught a thing. Why? Because the tide goes out in the morning and it comes in the evening. Don't ever make that mistake. Amen? But I want you to understand, the tide is under the rulership of the polarity, not of the sun, but of the moon. But of the moon. The moon has final say of when the tide is going to come in and when the tide is going to go out. There's also a high tide. Depending on the cycle of the moon, how close it is to the earth, the polarity of the moon will give a high tide and or it will give a low tide. But also the moon also says to the ocean, the tide, you are not going to, when you come in, you are not going to go any further than where I have told you, because it's all centralized by the pull of Jesus Christ reflecting off of it. It is ruling the night, but only because of the light of Christ reflecting the power and the authority and the final say-so of the King of Kings, the greater light. And so now you come to find that the moon has the right to rule over the darkness. So now the moon says, even though you're going to come in the dark, you are not going to go any further than what I tell you to do, because a standard has been set on you. You are not going to go into the city and flood the city. You're not going to flood people's homes. You're only going to come a certain distance, and then I command you to stop. It reminds me of what the Word of God says in Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. I want you to know, it's time, church. If you are the lesser light and you are under the umbrella of the greater light, you don't have to put up with the things that the counterfeit light has been saying to you. It's time that you take a stand. It's time that you let the devil know, I'm tired of you messing with my family. I'm tired of you messing with my home. I'm tired of you messing with my job. I'm tired of you messing with my health. I'm tired of you messing with my marriage. I'm tired of you messing with all of my children. I'm tired of it, and I'm putting a standard between me and you, because I'm not going to allow for you to mess with me, because I'm under the ordination of the greater light. And because I am with him, all things are made possible to me. I am going to establish the standard. You are not going to flood over, and you're not going to take me out. I'll call the tide. The tide has changed. The tide has changed. Amen. Can I have a few more moments? It doesn't matter if you give it to me or not. Let me tell you what we saw Monday. Let me say this as we get into this. God has created man, and he's given us independence. Amen? He said, let them have rule over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over all creation. He's given us independence, even though he could have said, you're going to be my robot. I'll take the authority. I'll take the power, and I'll tell you what to do with it. He didn't say that. He said, let them have dominion. You take rule. You take, and that's why Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it with you. The choice is yours. Unfortunately, when God said, let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and over all creation handles all creation. It handles all vegetation. And God has given us rule and reign over vegetation. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people that don't know Christ, they are following the seductive voice of Satan. And all creation has taken rule and reign over them. Because whenever you think of any kind of drug, any kind of alcohol, any kind of whatever it be, even tobacco, it all comes from vegetation. Your alcohol comes from hops. Your drugs come from poppy seeds and a variety of things. And then you have marijuana leaves and whatever. Everything comes from vegetation. So instead of you having dominion over vegetation, it has taken dominion over people. And it's time to turn it around. Lift up a standard and turn it around. Jesus Christ came, and he affirmed what the Father said. And he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now he came, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he went and he ascended. He sits at the right hand of the Father. But he left behind the lesser light. He left behind the lesser light to go and be the lighthouse to the lost. Be my reflection to those who are broken. But let me tell you something. You're never going to win anybody over by just going over there and showing off how much knowledge of the Word of God you have. and dare not go into the workplace tomorrow and say, I smell smoke. You have an asbestos suit? Or your feet getting warm? Hey, by the way, do you like dry heat? That's not going to win anybody over. Amen? We're supposed to win them over, not with a hammer, but with the love of Christ, which would reflect off of us. But what I want to show you, this past Monday, we had a solar eclipse. The solar eclipse is when the moon, when the moon gets between the sun and the earth. That's a solar eclipse. Now, spiritually speaking, there are solar eclipses that go on in people's lives that are saved. It happens when you, as I repeat what I said earlier, when you think you're all that, because of the gifts you have, because of the propensity and the healing virtue that you have, and whatever God has given you, and now you have a name built up for yourself. And if you don't surrender, and if you don't keep your eyes affixed on the things of God, then you're going to get in the way between Christ and the people. And the best the people will ever have is just a corona glimpse of Christ, if they see him at all. Because you have gotten in the way between the Son, Jesus Christ, and the people that are living in darkness. Amen? Kind of reminds me of John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist, if you think about it, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were coming to be water baptized unto repentance. They came to where he was. He didn't go to them. They came to him. He could have said, my goodness, they're coming to see me. But you know what he did? When he saw Jesus, he said, hello, look, one, there is one who is greater than I am, and I am not even worthy to unloose his shoes. I baptize you unto repentance, but he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And what he did, he said, I must decrease. I need to get out of the way so that he can increase. That needs to be our attitude. We need to decrease. We need to be humble. We need to be submissive to allow for the greater light, Jesus Christ, to reflect and show his love, his mercy, his compassion to people in darkness. Otherwise, you are going to find that you have created a solar eclipse in your life. 24 years down the road, they're already talking about it, there's going to be a lunar eclipse. 24 years down the road, I'm going to be 67 next month. 24 years, I'll be 91. My chances of seeing it are more, I'm going to see it topographically. People on Earth are going to see it from Earth up, but it doesn't matter to me. But what is the actuality of a lunar eclipse is when the world gets between the sun and the moon. That's what a lunar eclipse is. In the reality of a Christian understanding of this, when you were on fire for Christ and you had your eyes positioned on him, that's wonderful. Then you're reflecting his love. But when you all of a sudden get enticed by the things of the world and you go back to it, because see, the counterfeit light is always drawing, always trying to entangle. He knows that small little thing that so easily entangles you. Unless you stay in the Word, unless you are constantly praying, unless you are constantly having a study time with the Lord, unless you are constantly praising and worshiping him, there's nothing good in you. In and of yourself, there's nothing good in us. That's what Jesus said. So if you don't hold on with everything within you, with dear life, unto Christ, you are going to be susceptible to falling away. The world is going to contaminate you. You are going to go and you are going to fall prey to the thing that Christ had healed you from. Whatever it was, the drugs, the alcohol. Before you know it, you're going to now go completely delving in to the old nature, the old behavior. And what you do by doing that, you allow for the world to capture you. And now you have your eyes positioned on the fun and the excitement of the world. And now you've allowed the world to get between Jesus and you. And all those people that knew you at one time when you were on fire, when you were reflecting the love and the glory of God, and you were telling people about what Christ has done for you. Oh, how wonderful he is. And people were being attracted to come to you because of your testimony, But then they see a new you that no longer are you lit up. You are completely darkened because you have fallen prey to the things of the world. And now you brought confusion to them because no longer are you telling them about Christ. You're telling them about, let's go to the bar. Let's go and have fun. And you'll lose all those people. And I just wonder, you don't have to raise your hands. I just wonder how many people you have allowed Satan to capture you and bring you, turning you around, that you're not in position, that now you have been influenced by the world, and the light that you once had has been totally darkened by the things of this world. I wonder how many there are here in our church. And let me tell you something. It doesn't happen overnight. It's subtle. Satan is subtle. He sneaks in little by little. He starts to give you these inclinations. You have these impulses. For a while, you don't move on those impulses. But after a while, those impulses get louder and louder and stronger and stronger. And you think, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Before you know it, you take a little dab over here, a little touch over here, and Satan got you. He brings you right back, turns you right around. And then you wonder why all of a sudden your joy is gone, your peace is gone, the hope is gone. You have no desire for the Word of God. You have no desire to lift up your hands and no desire to praise Him because you have entered in to a place where you don't want to be. It's a lunar eclipse. You've allowed the world to fracture your relationship with Christ. But you know what? That's okay. Because God knows and Jesus knows that we're going to mess up. And what Jesus wants to do right now, He just wants to reposition you. He wants to reposition you. That's all. He just wants to take you as He had to do with Peter. Peter was swearing about the fact, I don't know Him, and he was cussing. Jesus just had to take him and bring him over and say, do you love me more than these? Come on, Pete. Let's get back on track. So I want you to know what Jesus wants to do here this morning. He wants to reposition you because you were created to be the lesser light. Let that reflecting ability that God has given you begin to move again and begin to work again. If that's you, I want you to come up front. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God is just going to restore you and grace you back to where you need to be. Back to where you need to be. That is what God's desire is for you. Amen?